We are Sheffield Community Church, where we represent God to the lost and found. This is the podcast of our Sunday service. We hope this message blesses you and leads you to a better life.
Good morning, church. Thank you for the warm welcome from the praise and worship team. It's good to be here this morning. You know, I'd just like to say a special welcome to you all that are here today. You know, a special welcome to those that are streaming online, whether it's YouTube, whether it's Facebook, or you are sitting at home on Zoom, you're more than welcome. I'd just like to take this time to thank the eldership of the church for allowing me to minister before you this morning. And I pray that God may use me. Amen. So this morning, we're continuing on the series of the original Christmas story. And my topic for those that are writing is a child, you know, born a child and yet a king. And my text will be from Luke chapter 1, verse 26 to 33. It reads, "In the sixth month of the angel Gabriel, was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, 'Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you.' But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He'll be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom, there will be no end.'" This is the reading of the word of God this morning. So 2,000 years ago, a baby was born, a light to the world and a king. During the Advent season, we tend to use this one word quite a lot. And that word is king. For example, "Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Let earth receive the King." We hear this quite a lot, isn't it? Or, "Hark, the herald's angels sing. Glory to the newborn King." I mean, we start hearing these songs, like, you know, from November, you know? And a lot of people are saying king and king, but what does it mean? You know, we know these songs of Christmas, like we know the rooms of our houses, or we know the placement of trees, you know, of the Christmas tree. And then one or two probably stand out for us is the essence of how Christmas is supposed to sound. But if you were to ask most people what these songs really mean, or what they mean when they say king, when they're declaring king, what do they really mean? You hear different responses. You know, some people will tell you, "Oh, Jesus is king within my heart." And some people will be like, "He's the Lord of my life." And another will say, "He reigns in the hearts of his people." Or, "He rules over his church." And some people will be like, "Huh?" You know, so what does it mean to say Jesus is king? What does it truly mean when we declare that Jesus is king? So the first point this morning is a king over your life. That's what we mean when we declare that. So when we call Jesus Christmas, what we imply is that Jesus reigns over our lives, over our individual lives. We're implying that he reigns over the life of the church. However, you see, today many of us tend to say king and mean merely in our hearts. and mean merely in our life. Although such a reign is quite pleasing to us, if we're to try to define king in the ways for the first century Jews like Mary, like Zechariah, like Elizabeth, they would look at us puzzled. They will be puzzled. And they'll be like, I don't think that's what it means. I don't think it means what you think it means. I do not know what comes to your mind when you hear the word king. Maybe you are there portraying the kings you've seen on movies. You know, the kings from Cinderella or the kings from The Lion King, right? Maybe that's the king that you're picturing. I know you've all watched The Lion King and Cinderella. Maybe you think of historical kings who ruled hundreds of years ago. Or you think of the monarchs who still reign up to this present day. I don't know what comes to your mind. Perhaps when we say king, we're carrying these pictures in our head. So what does it mean to say Jesus is really king? So once again, let us return to Luke. You know, where I just read from the book of Luke to discover what we really should mean when we declare Jesus as king this Christmas. And so when an angel appeared to Mary and said the following, it was a big deal. The angel said, you will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. They were a pure virgin who never knew a man. And behold, something extraordinary, behold, something wonderful happens. How beautiful is that? And we also see it in the prophecy of Isaiah. In Isaiah 7, verse 14, it says, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. His name is Jesus Christ, church. He's not just an ordinary king. He's not an ordinary king. You know, his name, Jesus Christ, he's a king who's not corrupt. He's a king who's not an oppressor. He's a king who knows everything. A king who's perfectly just. A king who can never be deceived. And a king who transforms men and women by his grace. A king who lays down his life before being raised in victory. That's who he is, church. That's who he is when we declare that he's the king. That's who he is when we are declaring his songs. That's who we should mean he is. You know, this has got to be the biggest highlights in the Christmas story. So when we declare Jesus as king this Christmas, in a world that seems out of control, we can have great confidence. We can have great confidence because there is one who reigns over our lives and sits on the throne, and his name is Jesus Christ. His name is Jesus Christ. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords, and there is none like him. And that's what we're declaring as children of God this morning. When we proclaim Jesus as King this Christmas, we should mean that he is the King that rules over our lives and reigns in our hearts. We should mean that he is the King who's immovable and irreplaceable in our lives. That's what we should mean when we declare the word King this morning or over this Advent season, or even next year. It doesn't have to be right now during Christmas. We should be declaring king throughout the whole year. And that's what we should mean, that he is a king who's replaceable in our lives. Amen. As we move on to the next point, what does it mean to say Jesus is king? It means a king with an everlasting kingdom. That's the next point. A king with an everlasting kingdom. So Luke first raises the issue of Jesus' kingship when Gabriel announces Jesus' birth to Mary. And we see it in Luke 1, verse 32. He says, the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And his kingdom, there will be no end. You know, church, when we read our Bible, the genealogy, the part we think is boring, right? You know, and this part goes like, the son of so-and-so, and the son of so-and-so. I know you can relate, you know, and we all go to our disciples and like, why do I have to read this bit? Why is it important? You know, it's just talking about the son of so-and-so. But it is there. It is there as part of Jesus' credentials. He comes from the line of David. So when angel Gabriel says that Jesus is going to reign on the throne forever, he's talking about how he's going to reign in the throne of David forever. That's where we see it in the genealogy. You know, he's saying that Jesus is the king that everyone has been waiting for. Jesus is king that everyone has been waiting for. I don't know about you this morning, but for me, Jesus is that king that I've always been waiting for. Not the Lion King, not any other king, not any other monarch who reigns, but Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior. You know, his words recall Yahweh's promise to David to place one of David's descendants on his throne forever. And we can find that in 2 Samuel verse 7, 12 to 16. I'm not going to read it, but yeah, you can find it there. So by linking Jesus' reign with David, Gabriel implies that it is not purely internal or spiritual kingdom that is in view. You see, he's talking about how Jesus is the King of Kings. And that's where the view is looking at. It's looking at how Jesus reigns in all the kingdoms. And that's where he's looking at it from. If Jesus' kingdom is anything like David's, it will be a public kingdom that manifests itself on earth. Perhaps more, but not less. And certainly not merely a matter of individual's holiness. Perhaps the greatest irony of Luke's story is that Jesus, the king, was born and laid in a manger out of all places because there was no place for him in the inn. The King of Kings, although from the line of David, is born not of royalty, but to a common carpenter and a little girl from Galilee. He was not laid in an elegant bed, but in a food trough for animals. The first people to visit him were not royal representatives, but the shepherds. So many of us assume that a conflict between Jesus' kingdom and the kingdom of this world would manifest itself in a battle or perhaps a debate. Since we don't see it, we assume that Jesus' kingdom must merely in our hearts, that it must be merely in our hearts. Of course, a Davidic king like Jesus would naturally pose a threat. He would pose that threat to other kings. For example, King Herod. For example, Caesar. Right? He will pose that threat to them. But you see, Jesus' kingdom, unlike Caesar, manifests itself in humility and love. In Isaiah 9, verse 6, the word of God says, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government will be upon his shoulders, And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. You see, Jesus' birth was good news to the world because he brought salvation. He brought salvation to the whole world. And he reigns. You know, his reign is marked in the beginning, you know. That is who he is. That is who he is. A God who brought true peace to the earth. The Son of God becomes human for the salvation of the world. And it is for this very reason that Jesus poses a threat to Caesar. That the king, he poses a threat to the kings of this world. It is for this very reason. In his birth, Jesus demonstrated different kind of power. A power that manifests itself in love. A power that manifests itself in sacrifice. And a power that manifests itself in the declaration of the truth. For rulers who have built their kingdoms on systems of oppressions, on brute force, on deception, this is indeed the reason to tremble. I said this is indeed the reason to tremble. Because Jesus' kingdom, you see, Jesus' kingdom threatens the kingdom of this world because it says that true power looks like the Son of God in a manger or on the cross. So yes, that's when we see how other kingdoms are being threatened. As we move on to our next point, what does it mean when we say Jesus is king? A king that manifests his kingdom through us. That's the next point. A king that manifests his kingdom through us. So we must mean more than simply that Jesus is king in our hearts, although that is surely where it starts, right? So to declare Jesus as king means that by virtue of his birth, life, death, and resurrection, Jesus has taken his seat on the right hand of the Father and is king over the whole world. He's king over this world. So from his birth to the cross, he's redefined what true power is and thereby turned his kingdom of this world on their heads. He's not one king among men who's striving for dominion and declaring that he's the mighty king, but he is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords, who will one day bring his kingdom to completion. I said he will bring his kingdom to completion. So we respond to such a king by worshiping him. We respond to such king by declaring his greatness. He's the reason for this season. I heard when Mr. Peter was leading the church, the prayer this morning, and was talking about how Jesus is the reason for this season. And he is the reason for this season. He is the reason for this season. We need to understand that this kingdom is not only wanting us, you know, it's not only wanting our response in worship, but also it wants to work through us. It wants to transform us. It wants us to be like his son, Jesus Christ. How great is this kingdom? How great is he? So as we're preparing for this Advent season with best presents in town, I don't know what gadget we're looking to buy or what people have been running to buy in shops, you know, and people have been decorating. You know, we've got all these different recipes, new recipes for this Christmas, you know? Let's not forget who the king is. Amen. We need to remember that Jesus, the king foretold in scriptures, the newborn king who has always been in God's plan. As we think about Christmas, let us worship the King like the wise men did. Christmas is not all about just receiving presents, but it's about us worshiping the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It's about us worshiping the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So for most part of the world, they'll be throwing parties, right? Because Christmas is coming and people are going to be throwing big parties and they'll forget to invite the guest of honor. They'll forget to invite the guest of honor. And much of this world remind me of a story. So this story is about two women who are at a restaurant in a downtown city. And you could tell that they were celebrating a festive occasion, a very special occasion. And a waitress came and said, "What kind of occasion are you celebrating?" And the woman responded, "Oh, it's my son's birthday." And the waitress, looking around and not seeing the baby, she said, "Where is the baby?" And the lady said, "You would think I'll bring my baby for this celebration. He would ruin the whole thing." You see, it was that baby's birthday, but they didn't invite him. And we, as children of God, we have that same response. When we celebrate and we forget to invite the guest of honor. When we celebrate and we forget to invite Jesus, the King. So I just pray this morning that as we celebrate, that we'll remember Jesus Christ. We may remember Jesus Christ as the guest of honor. I pray that we'll declare this Christmas that Jesus is King and the reason for this season. Fundamentally, the idea of Jesus being King of Kings and Lord of Lords means there is no higher authority. There is no higher authority. And that's what we're declaring this morning. We say there's no higher authority above Jesus Christ. And that's what we should be declaring this morning, church. He reigns over all things. His reign over all things is sacred. You know, he's the King of Kings, and I keep on declaring this, and that he's the Lord of Lords. You see, God raised him from the dead and blessed him over all things. Far above the rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him as head over the things to the church, which is his body, church. The fullness of him who fills all in all. And even as I end, in Luke 1, verse 31 to 33, it says, "And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, and he will be great, and you'll be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David and will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom, there will be no end." You see, as we're reminded of the original Christmas story, Jesus born a child and yet a king who reigns and rules over our lives, a king with an everlasting kingdom, and a king who manifests his kingdom through us at the deepest level of our lives and societies. You see, many of us declare Jesus as king. But what we really mean is that he's king over a section of our lives. A question for you this morning, church. Are there any areas of your life, both public and private, that you have yet to submit to Jesus' kingship? Is there any part of your life that you have yet to submit to Jesus' rulership this morning? Is there any part of your life? I just wanted to just assess yourself this morning and say, is there any part of me that is declaring Jesus' kingship, but just a section of it and not all of it? Because you see, Jesus wants to rule over your life. Jesus wants to take over your life, not just a section of it. You see, we give Jesus all or nothing. It is all too easy to divide our lives into sections that Jesus is and that he is not. I do not know which area of your life that you're still withholding from the rulership of the King this morning. And you see, Jesus is not just an ordinary king, church, but it is a King of kings and the Lord of lords. A king who knows you and everything that you're going through this morning. He's a king who perfectly understands your struggles. And you can have great confidence in him this morning. He understands you more than anyone. He understands you more than anything. And you can have great confidence in him this morning. So as we celebrate this Christmas and proclaim that Jesus is King, we should mean that he's the King who reigns over our lives. We should mean that he's a King who is immovable at the throne of our hearts. We should mean that he's a King who's irreplaceable in our lives. And we should mean it. We should not just say it, but we should mean it with our hearts this morning. We praise, Lord. Let's just pray this morning. Thank you, Abba Father. Thank you, mighty God. Lord, we bless your name. We glorify your name, O Abba Father. We thank you, mighty God, for who you are. And say, Father, Lord, as we come before your throne, as we are reminded, O Abba Father, of the Christmas story, Almighty God, we pray that, Almighty God, this morning we may declare your name. That this morning, Almighty God, we may declare you as an everlasting God. That this morning we may declare you as a King who manifests his kingdom through us. Oh Lord, we pray and say, Abba Father, have your way. That Father, Lord, this morning we may allow you, Almighty God, to take over our lives, O Abba Father. Lord, we let go. We let go of these sessions that we're holding on. We let go of that which we're holding on, Almighty God. And we say, Father, Lord, we want your kingship to reign over our lives this morning. We let go, Almighty God, of that which we are withholding, Almighty God, from the rulership of the church, from the rulership of your King. And we pray and say, my God, have your way. We thank you, Lord. We bless your name. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you very much.
If God is transforming your life through this podcast, take courage and visit us in person. We would love to meet you and get to know you more. Thank you for listening. Hope to see you soon.